Okay, everyone, good evening. We're starting a few minutes early. If y'all will please be seated. I'm Leela Cornelius, and this is my dear friend for many years from Sunday school together, and Virginia Prodden, and she is going to share an amazing story. Let's open with prayer first, and then I'll tell you a little bit about her. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this beautiful evening, this sweet church that opens up for us. And Lord, we especially thank you for Virginia's witness tonight and her courage and how you can use one person to change so much. Your precious, if we'll just be your vessel. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Okay, so we're too short. This is just my close friend, and I'm going to let her tell her story. She's was born and raised in Romania and has written a book, and she's been on Focus for the Family, and you just were on Christianity Today?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm. And so, anyway, I'm going to let her tell the story and not waste the time with me.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm really happy to be here, and I want to emphasize something that Leela said, and I want to tell you from the beginning. I'm not a hero. God is the hero, and he is the one who changed a country using me as his tool. And he can use each one of us to change America. Like everyone else, I was born, like you, with a hunger for truth and freedom. But unfortunately, I was born in communist Romania. As a kid, all I knew was lies and a prison land. Yes, communist is nothing but a land where the leaders will tell lies and will determine your whereabouts. As a young kid, I watched my parents very often being politically correct outside the home and still inside of our home, whispering our contempt to the government who was taking day by day their freedom away. And as a kid, I said to myself, I do not want to live this kind of life. And also, as a kid, I did not feel secure in my own home because I knew that if something happened, my parents will just do whatever the government will do. And I'm saying that for a very good reason. I had seen a lot of changes in America today. Think about your kids and your grandkids, how they see their security, their peace, when the parents don't fight for freedom. Not only that I had seen my parents being politically correct outside of home, but I also had the privilege of having, even though a small family, but I had relatives who were lawyers and they will always come every single year to our family reunions. And as a kid, I noticed that anytime they will come, our relatives will surround them, will ask questions. And to me, as a 6 years old child, I was thinking they have the answer. So I put those two things together. I don't want to be like my parents. Lawyers have an answer, and I thought, I found the way. I'm going to go to law school, I'm going to learn about the truth, and I'm going to speak up for the truth. God had a bigger plan than mine. I want you to know that when you go to law school in communist, it's not like going to school in freedom in America. In order for me to be allowed to go to law school, The government had to approve my political file. And yes, under communists, from the beginning of your life, from the moment you're born to the day you die, the government has a file on you. And you cannot see what is in that file. You cannot say it. Okay, hold on a minute. This, what you put in the file, is not correct. I can prove it. No way. And the government can use it against you. The three things that were in that file for the government to watch for and in order for them to allow me to take the exam for law school were the following. My parents never organized anything against the communist government. My parents were never reported to say even inside of our home by their own kids to government that they said something. And the third one was that my parents were not Christian. And here I was accepted to law school in Romania. And the reason I want to tell you why the government had those requirements is because I found out later, is because when you are in law school in Romania, as a student, you become part of the elite of the society. You will become the judge, the prosecutor, the Supreme Court judge, or even the ambassador. But more than that, the government requires you to be loyal to the government and fight the Romanian people, the dissidents. I did not know when I applied to law school, and boy, it's so nice sometimes not to know things from the beginning. But I found out later on those. For years, I finished law school and I went to continue to be a lawyer. And I don't have the time to explain it to you what happened and how the government gives you the job, puts you when you want. You cannot choose your job. You cannot choose your location and so forth. I had to find my own clients, and also I had to pay 50% of my salary to the government. And above that, the government put a limit of how many clients I had every month. But no matter what, I was so happy. I graduated from law school in the top 10% of my class. I knew that I learned so well from law books, so now was my turn to go and practice and touch and find the truth. And I practice, I'm a very enthusiastic person, and every single morning I will wake up and I say, today it's my day. And I went to work and work and work until one day I came to my office. I put my briefcase on my secretary's desk and I said, I can't find the truth. I don't want to be a lawyer anymore. She looked up to me and she said, a welcome to reality. You have three clients coming and one is in your office. And she gave me the files. I walk into my office with all the things in my mind. Where is the truth? Why I cannot find the truth? And indeed, a client was in my office. And this client was a client that I always wanted to talk with him. Because he had hope. He had a smile on his face. He had joy in a land where the hope, joy, and hopefulness didn't exist. So to me, anytime he came to my office, I said, I need to talk with this client. It's something wrong with him. I have to find out what's it. But I was always busy. But that day, with all the questions that I had in my mind, and he kept putting new documents on my desk and everything, I didn't hear anything from him. And all of a sudden, I looked to him and I said, I want to have in my life what you have in your life. He looked up to me and he said, do you go to church? And I was thinking, boy, what in the world finding the truth has to do with going to church? But I was polite and I responded, yes, at Easter and Christmas. And he wrote, that was a ritual. He wrote down his church address, and the next Sunday, I was walking into his church, And I do remember people singing, "Sinner, Come Home." I had no idea. I thought, I'm a lawyer. I don't know who is the sinner. But I didn't pay attention. So we found a place, and the pastor came, opened the Bible, and said, "I am the truth, the way, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father except through me." It was a huge church, maybe like yours, quiet. Can you imagine somebody said, after the pastor said that, "What?" That was me. And the lady behind by me put the Bible on my lap and showed it to me, the Bible verse. And I got glued to the Bible and to the pastor. I accepted Christ that day, and my life changed forever. My search for the truth was over. People came to me, a lot of Christians, to help them. Because during that time in communist Romania, where the dictator declared himself a god and required everyone to worship him, people were put in jail for having a Bible or sharing a Bible with others, for seeing a movie like Jesus movie, or churches were demolished because the government will not allow a church to maintain the building. They will put them on the waiting list until the government will say the church is in disrepair, we're going to demolish the church, and we're going to confiscate the land. But when I accepted Christ, I also accepted the divine appointment to defend Christians. And I knew that was why the Lord put on my heart to find the truth. And I defended many, many Christians using the law that existed in the Romanian books from the capitalist era, that our dictator never declared them or took them out of the books for one reason. I found out later on in the interrogation room, because after I won several cases, and the only way I won those cases is because of those laws that I use. And the government said in the interrogation room that you cannot use those laws. The minute that you use those laws, you will become an enemy of the state. But when God gives you a job, he gives you everything, including the courage to stand up. And I told them, I went to law school. I had the desire to find the truth from the time that I was six. And that's why I went to law school, and I'm not going to stop. For that reason, they put me under house arrest and under surveillance every single day, interrogated. They beaten me, threatened to kill me and my kids. And after many, many years, if you read my book, and I want to emphasize this, when God gives us a job, he always, or at least when he gives me a job, my answer is, "It's impossible, Lord. I cannot do it." And smiling, he said, "I can do it through you." So he gave me an impossible job. And I'm not going to spoil that for you. But I want to just to tell you that when he gave me that impossible job, and I had the documents in my suit, there was the only day in my life in the interrogation room when the secret police did not search me. After years of defending Christians, and I have to tell you that also when God gives you a job, he gives you protection. When I was defending Christians, or at least in the beginning, I was facing the judge. I had no idea that behind me there were representatives from United States, France, Israel, all over the world, taking notes and reporting back to their country. Many of my cases became part of United Nations reports of human rights violations. But when I defended them, I did not know, or at least in the beginning. It was God's way for protection. For that reason, and for the fact that for many, many of my cases, I won those cases, and I exposed the dictator. A lot of people from West, including President Ronald Reagan, and the Congress decided to take away from Romania the most favored national status. And that infuriated the dictator. Plus, Congressman Frank Wolf and Christopher Smith will come and talk with me first, and then equipped with all the documents, he will go and talk with our dictator. So they were furious, and the dictator was furious, and he was not happy with me. So many times they pushed me into traffic to be like an accident, or they interrogated me under amazing pressure, hoping that I will stop defending Christians. The last thing that the dictator did was send a so-called client. This is why the book is called Saving My Assassin. He came to my office very late in evening when my secretary left, pretending that he wants me to look at his case. The minute that he came into my office, he pulled his gun and pointed to me and he said, I'm not your client, I'm here to kill you. I had the feeling that I was very afraid, and I had the feeling that I would die that minute. And as you see in the movie, in 1 second, you see your entire life in front of you. It was a lots of noises in my head, in my heart. I even heard my heartbeat. But in all those noise, I heard the Lord saying, share the gospel with him. And I did, because in Romania, because we didn't have a Bible in our home, we learned by heart Bible verses. And as I recited the Bible to him, and I told him that I don't hate him, that God loves him and I choose to love him, I will tell him how much God loves him, and he can do the job that he was sent for. And I noticed for the first time in my life an amazing miracle. As I recited Bible verses to him, the gospel, this 6'10" foot tall man melted under God's power and his word. And I was absolutely amazed what I was able to see in front of me. But I'm human, and as I was watching him, I was thinking, when I am done, he's gonna kill me. And I lost the thoughts, and I said my own words, I paraphrased. And then when I paraphrased my own words, this man came back to his stature, to anger, desire to kill. And I really encouraged myself. I said, Virginia, you better go back to the Bible. So I did. And he accepted Christ, promised to come back to church, but under a secret name, or not necessary name, under the same kind of secret police, but he will never tell anyone about what happened. Shortly after that, we were forced to leave my family, and I was forced to leave Romania because the dictator was afraid that others will follow, and also President Reagan was afraid that the dictator will kill us. So President Reagan made negotiation, if you want, with him. He said to the dictator, we'll give you one more year of most nation, favored nation status, with one condition, that you let Virginia and her family to live in a day, I believe, President Reagan said. The dictator said a month. So I came to United States of America almost 28 years ago, in November 14, 1988. I did not know one word in English. I knew 5 other languages, but not one word in English. I had 2 girls with me under 10 years old and a son. I was pregnant with my son. I studied English and I went back to law school at SMU. And I graduated in 3 years, what normal people graduate in 4, with 2 degrees, a Juris Doctor and a Master of Law. I raised my kids, and the first daughter graduated from SMU. The second one from Harvard Law School, and my son from United States Air Force Academy. because this is America. This is the best place in the world. I had seen America change in the last 28 years I have been here. I have been watching you from far away, from Romania, and living for so many years here in the United States. Americans are the most generous people in the world, the most creative, the most compassionate people. But you never had experience with a government that is hostile to your religious rights and your freedom. I want to say it's time for American people to stop being politically correct and start being godly correct. It's time to bring Christ back to the United States of America. May God bless you, and may God bless the United States of America.
Okay, let's pray together. Father in heaven, thank you for Virginia and her witness and one person that can make such a difference just with her story. So thank you. Bless her. And we pray that you will open our hearts and minds for what you have for us now in our groups. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. And her books are in the back of the table.